With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Tuesday, May 23rd, and we are here trying to help you make sense of the financial choices that are within your grasp. And why do I say it like that? Because so often we hear from you and there are many things that you call about or talk to us about, and it's very micro sometimes. Like, I have a specific question about this investment. And then it leads to a broader conversation about what's going on in your overall financial life. And since Mark and I are both certified financial planners, because Mark, I don't feel like your training isn't sort of as a certified financial planner, but mine is. And I did that for a long time. I know that what's going on in your life and who you are as a human being is really the driver of every single one of these conversations. So if you would like to join us and talk about who you are, the things that you're contemplating that might have a ramification around your finances, get in touch with us. Just go to jillonmoney.com, click on the Contact Us button. Let us know if you'd be willing to come on the air. While you're on the website, don't forget, the book is still for sale, ladies and gentlemen, The Great Money Reset. And when you are contemplating changes in your life, it can impact where you live, what your balance sheet's going to look like. And it actually may mean that you've got some options open to you that you never considered. So you should check out the book, The Great Money Reset. Today, we are joined by a listener in Connecticut. His name is John. Hello, John. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Hello, Jill. I just had some questions. I've always tilted very conservative on my investments, and I've always made my investments based on what I thought the best deal at the time was. You know, overall, I think my asset allocation is okay for me. I'm probably 53% stocks, 47% bonds and short term. But I'm a little concerned that it's off by type of account. I have my non-taxable accounts or deferred tax accounts. I tend to be more in stock, but yet my taxable account, I seem to generate a lot of capital gain from mutual funds and a lot of interest. So I'm a little concerned that I've gotten it backwards.
And of course, now that you've started on this track and given where you are, to shift things around could actually create even more taxable liabilities for you. So tell us a little bit about yourself, John. How old are you?
I'm 68.
Okay. And are you working or are you retired?
I retired about a year and a half ago.
How's retirement going?
Okay.
Because I have you and you're fresh into retirement, what's better and what's worse about retirement than you had expected?
Well, I expected the bureaucracy to be a lot less and all the frustrations with that. So that's gotten a lot better. I also had concerns about filling up a day, and I still have those concerns.
And how are you filling up your day? Are you doing anything? Are you volunteering? Are you keeping your hand in something?
I volunteer, especially during tax season. I do taxes 3 days a week, one day.
Wait a second. Are you a retired CPA?
No, I'm a retired actuary. I'm also a chartered financial consultant. So,
oh, my God. Talking to a pro here, Mark. What does he need us for?
But I don't practice that. I'm an actuary. I do math.
I love math. And by the way, I understand that test to become an actuary is incredibly hard, harder than the CPA. Is that true, John?
Well, I don't know about the CPA, but it's definitely harder than being a chartered financial consultant. Yeah, there's a series of 10 exams and they take the top 40% on each exam. So as you get toward the end, it's a pretty hard group, a pretty strong group of people.
Do you want to explain to people what actuaries do besides predict when, you know, people are going to kick the bucket for insurance purposes? What else do they do?
Well, actually, I'm a property and casualty actuary, so I predict how much claims are going to cost insurance companies, self-insureds, things like that.
Are you the guy that we should complain to when we're like, why doesn't my insurance pay out? They always say no first. Is that just because when you say no first, people, a certain percentage of people just fall out and don't follow up and pound the desk and ask for more?
Well, I started off as a claims guy before I became an actuary. So I would say no. You know, I think part of it's the understanding of what's covered by the policy.
Right. Because there's so many people who are like, oh, there's a flood and I want to go to my homeowners, and the homeowner's policy doesn't cover, you know, flooding from the groundswell. Right.
Right.
All right, let's get back to you. So are you partnered or married or anything else that I should know about?
Yeah, I'm married.
You're like, yeah, I'm married.
It's been 42 years, you know, so it's...
Yeah, I got her. She's good. Is she working or retired?
She retired before I did.
Tell me a little bit about like the income that you guys receive. How do you float your lifestyle right now?
Well, I've been lucky that from the two jobs I've had over my career, I have a defined benefit pension plan.
Ooh, how much is that?
Last year was $110,000.
And what about your wife? Does she also have any sort of pension, or is she was she in the private sector?
We're both in the private sector. Mm-hmm. She was in the private sector, but she decided to take her pension as a lump sum.
Okay. So you've got your defined benefit. Are you guys receiving Social Security yet, or are you waiting till 70?
I'm going to wait till 70, but I'm not sure that's the best thing, because I'm going to get more and more taxable income as I get there. So
that's interesting. Let's talk about your money that is in non-retirement. So the taxable accounts, how much is in there?
For me, about $2 million.
And her?
Hers is all pretty much all in IRAs and 401ks.
Okay. So retirement accounts, is it all pre-tax?
I have some Roth, but not a lot.
What's the pre-tax portion of the total retirement accounts?
Between the two of us, $3.5 million.
You screwed, man. You know it. Do I have to tell you the math? The RMDs are going to kill you.
Well, unless I do something like a qualified charitable donation or something.
Yeah, let's talk about. All right. So, okay. How much money do you guys need to live on?
Well, we're living on the pensions, my pensions right now.
And no big deal. Like the 110 covers your stuff.
Yeah.
So in the taxable accounts, what you're saying is you're generating too much tax liability, right?
Yep.
Are there any this is funny because you've been investing for a long time. Tell me about sort of the net, where do you stand capital gains wise on this $2 million of taxable? I presume most of this is like deep gains. Is that right?
Not too deep, you know, because the market's been down. But yeah, there's quite a bit in there. And I harvested most of the losses last year to offset my rollover to Roth.
Do you have any other plans to continue to convert to a Roth, or you feel like you're kind of done?
No, I plan on keeping on doing it at least the next couple of years till I turn 70 and start taking Social Security.
Okay. So then at Social Security, what's the benefit amount for you?
I don't know, 50-some thousand, 4,500 a month or something.
Do you have a big pile of cash somewhere, or when you are converting, are you then going to be selling more of the taxable account out?
No, I'm pretty much paying it out of the pension, because out of the $110,000 of pension, I only clear 70 because I put the rest toward taxes.
Okay, got it. So when you say to me that you're generating too much tax, when you look at your account right now, mm-hmm. what does it look like what is the allocation? You said it's 5347 overall, but what are the kinds of things that you have in that taxable account? Do you have funds that are creating income there, or are you buying and selling inside of there?
No, I haven't bought and sold much lately. So it's 43% in stocks and mutual funds. Mm-hmm. So the stocks aren't generating much, but the mutual funds probably generate between $15,000 and $35,000, depending on how good the year is. Mm-hmm. And then there's some, you know, a bunch of CDs too, and bonds,
which are also creating some issues.
Well, the bonds aren't too bad, other than I have high savings bonds mostly, or municipal bonds. So the high savings bonds are again just pushing off the problem down the road. But
yes, those will be good for someone who inherits it for you. That'll be their problem. Right. Do you guys have kids?
Just one.
A grown child who's okay or something we have to think about in the future?
No, he's okay. He's 40, living in Ireland with a partner and a 2.5-year-old daughter.
Wow. That sounds kind of fun. All right. So is the general game plan then continue to convert, pay whatever you need to pay out of your cash flow, and then at age 70, you claim Social Security, and then at 70 and a half, you're going to do the QCD and you're going to take $100,000 of low cost basis and throw it into QCD land and or are you going to maybe even think about doing a charitable trust, maybe at a Fidelity or one of the big companies, and front loading giving for the future, or both?
Yeah, both, I would say, because I already have a charitable trust set up at Vanguard.
Okay, great. How much is in the charitable trust?
Only $35,000 so far.
So are you now thinking about how much you actually want to push into charity? I could see how we can make a lot of your taxable income, especially the low cost basis stuff. I would love, especially if you've got something that's just really low basis, like, hey, I've owned this S&P 500 fund forever, and then just gift that into the charitable trust.
Yeah.
And start over.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I've actually done, the last one I did was some energy stocks that have gone up crazy, doubled in the last 2.5 years. So,
okay. The reason why I think that's a really good idea is that might help us actually attack the asset allocation tax problem. Then if you wanted to, as a CD came due, maybe you would reallocate that in a way to be a bit more tax efficient. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. You got tons of money. You don't need a lot of money. All this money has been great. You're just being, you have that actuary mind, which is like, I want to be smarter about making sure that I'm not paying more in taxes than I need to. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. I don't mind paying the government, but I just don't want to pay more than I have to.
Right. And I think the idea of using both the QCD, a qualified charitable distribution,
yeah,
and the Vanguard Charitable Trust are ways for you to reallocate and not make yourself too crazy. I mean, you live in the state of Connecticut, but you've got Connecticut muni bonds. So I don't think it's the hugest problem. I think that you're dealing with the larger issue, which is you've got a slug of money that is pre-tax that's going to, when you turn, in 5 years from now, when you do turn 73, is going to just create an awfully big tax liability.
Right.
Are you on Medicare right now?
I am.
Can you tell me a little bit about whether or not you're, I have to imagine just because of your income and these conversions, that you are subject to IRMA, to that extra surcharge?
Yes.
If I looked at your tax return last year, what was the AGI?
181, I think. 210, sorry. The taxable is 181.
I really wouldn't care that much. I mean, that if you're dribbling this out and you're doing the conversions a little bit at a time, you have over the next 5 years to kind of get the money out. And, you'll pay more in Medicare, right? You'll pay $200, $300, $400 a month, whatever it ends up being.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I think limiting those required minimum distributions is kind of a game changer for you.
Right.
Because if we look, let's say, you're 75 years old and you have to take 4% out of $3 million, that's like a real number.
Yeah.
And I don't know where tax rates are going. I don't know what you think, but we tend to sort of bet on tax rates going higher in the future, not lower. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that.
So I think to me, I appreciate that tax liability is no fun. And I think that you're already managing this, but I think the way out of this bigger issue is to try to convert as much as possible today in the next 5 years, and then take advantage of the charitable trust, the QCD, and work your way back from there. I mean, you're in great shape, obviously, presumably because you're an actuary. And I think that actuaries probably dot their I's and cross their T's. You have your estate planning done, correct?
No.
What?
No.
Wait a minute. No. Wait a minute. All right, wait, I have a thing about actuary. Let me have you ask a very specific actuary question.
Yeah.
What is the likelihood that you will die?
I'll die eventually, 100%. Yeah.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. I'm glad you answered that correctly. So now, what is the likelihood that I can nudge you into creating estate documents so that we can figure out how to make sure this actually doesn't turn into a mess for whoever survives you?
Yeah, I have some estate documents, but we did it years ago in the mid-90s, so we need to update them.
All right. So pinky swear with me, you'll be able to get that done. So that and maybe, you know, sort of not hyper, you know, it's funny, like, again, the detail of the creating capital gains or taxable income in the accounts. I'm not worried about your asset allocation, frankly.
Okay.
I'm much more worried about the $3.5 million that is going to have to be forced out eventually. Number one is to do the estate documents. Number two is to convert. Number three is to make sure in that taxable account that you're using the low basis assets and putting that into the charitable trust. Number four would be to start using the QCD when you turn 70 and a half for your retirement distributions. And the see where number five is now like the asset allocation on these accounts. It's peanuts in the big scheme of things.
Yeah. Now I've only been converting a little because I don't know, we're paying like $500 a month each for Medicare because of our prior income. This year it'll go down. But, yeah. You know, this year I kept it and only converting 50,000, but I could convert more. I struggle with paying it now, you know, instead of later, but I guess I probably makes more sense to pay it now.
Yeah. I mean, if we agree that statistically and fiscally for the country, it is more likely tax rates will go up than down. That suggests that converting more now, paying your tax at 22 or 24% makes the most sense, even if you have to pay more for Irma. Because look, you know, frankly, the tax rates are due to sunset in 2025. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, I just do think that rates will rise in the future. I do.
Yeah. The only thing is I have to pay them where my heirs may have to pay them if I don't pay them now.
Yeah. I mean, but that heir could be that nice wife of 42 years.
Yeah. But she doesn't need the money. You know, she'll still have my pension. I did 100% joint and survivor on both pensions.
So think about this. Even if that's the case, even if it's like, I don't like to pay, now you're showing me that actuaries actually have hearts and emotions. So I'm glad to hear that. That's nice to know. But I would say this, even so, the math works better to say, let me pay the tax now. I got the money to pay it. And it does make more sense. But nothing's bad's going to happen to you, John. You know that.
Yeah.
So otherwise, get those estate documents. That is a pain in the neck, and that is something you can do now.
Yeah, no, I just have to find somebody I feel comfortable with.
You know, if you, I'm sure if you ask around, there's plenty of good estate attorneys in the state of Connecticut, I've heard.
Yeah, I've gotten names of like three now from different people that I trust.
So let's go interview them and see. All right, John. Good luck to you. I like being contacted by an actuary, Mark. It feels like very legit. So if you've got piles and piles of money like John and his wife, and you're wondering what the priorities should be, sometimes, again, you call about or you contact us about something like, hey, the asset allocation in a retirement versus a non-retirement. And all of these questions are sort of theoretical and it uncovers other issues. And, you know, obviously, John is incredibly smart and being very efficient. But, you know, it still is good to have an extra set of ears and eyes on a situation. So if that's you, go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, let us know if you'd be willing to come on the air. And while you're there, sign up for our new service. It's called Jill on Money Live, where you will have access to quarterly live webinars, special interviews with interesting guests, and more. Maybe we'll have John come on as the actuary, and he can actually explain why property and casualty insurance is rising so dramatically. We'll have to figure that out. Anyway, thank you so much. And don't forget to do something nice for someone else today. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.